Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi, everybody. This is Broadway Breakdown. I'm one half of your hosts, John Wiscavige.
And I started as one half of your other hosts, but I'm like now a tenth of a half of your other hosts, whatever math that fucking is. Matt Koplik, hi.
We just re-recorded the beginning of this podcast, like, 17 times, I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
Because Matt's having a ton of technical difficulties because of all of his Tumblr porn that he watches, given his computer the viruses.
It has. This is why you gotta protect your computer from the Tumblr porns. Make your computer wear a condom. Make sure that you at least get a free dinner out of it. And then, you know, roll the dice. See what happens.
Actually, you can get food. Like, you can get dinner from your computer. Thanks, Seamless. This episode is brought to you by Seamless. It's not. I'm gonna give us a fake sponsor until someone starts paying us to do this.
I say that was a seamless ad though. Like that was a seamless transition, if I do say so myself. Well done.
Oh God.
Ew. Yeah. Welcome. Welcome to the pod, everybody.
I wanna punch you right in your Grubhub.
Yes, Daddy.
No.
Okay.
I don't even know how to start this now because I feel as if we've talked about so many different topics.
Yeah. I mean, for the full 2 minutes that we were rolling.
But it's us that we're talking about. Think of how many different topics we cover in 2 minutes.
This is very true. Guys, it's just a weird fucking day, everybody. It's a balmy snow day out here, and it's just gross. John is still in Florida where, you know, he is cardiganing it up, and I want
to... Yeah, it was 60 degrees yesterday. I had to wear a sweater. Thank God today it's back up to mid to high 70s, because I just don't even know what I would do.
No, you wouldn't be able to go on for your show today, and I would feel so terrible for those 6 people.
How dare you?
I know. It's like more like 9.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, get the numbers right. I told you, I'm terrible at math.
I would also like to say, I would like to point out that the two numbers that first came to you were 6 and 9. You need to talk to a therapist, stat.
I did talk to a therapist. Freud in action. I talked to 5.
Oh, God.
Before I was 13. I'm done with the therapy. The only therapy I do is Therapy Bar. On 52nd Street.
More
53rd
more
Street.
More plugs.
Wherever it is.
Oh, we did actually have a really nice plug for one of our friends who just started listening to the podcast, who's now a huge fan, Sutton Lee Seymour. Hi, Sutton. We're going to get you
Sutton.
On the show soon, but I just want to say hi and I miss you. She's New York's premier musical theater drag queen, and she's...
That she is. Her shows at Musical Mondays are phenomenal.
Truly, at Hardware Bar. Not that I've ever been to a gay bar, but if you have, Hardware Bar is the hardest.
You suck!
So, despite our 5 million jump starts today, and our, you know, weird weather contrasts, how are you doing, Gian?
I'm good. You know, I'm good. We're kind of... winding down. We just reached the halfway point of our actual run here. So, yeah, it's been really fun. My sister and her husband are coming to see the show tonight, so I'm really excited about that. Gorgeous. And then I'm going to hang out with them after the show tonight, and then I have a 7 a.m. TV spot on live TV tomorrow morning. Ooh. To promote the show, which I was talking to my castmate about, and I was saying, you know, I've been so responsible my whole career. What if tonight's the night that I just throw caution to the wind and I get completely out of character, I get completely wasted, and I pull a full Elaine Stritch Judy Garland on live TV in Naples, Florida tomorrow, and at 7 a.m. I'm putting on my show makeup to show the hosts how I get all pretty like, and I am just full-blown... Listen, sweet, if you want, like, half a cigarillo, which I believe is a kind of cigarette jutting out of my gaping maw, you know, I think tomorrow's the day that I do it.
That'll be the day that America falls in love with John Miscavige.
Yeah, instead of just falling in lust, I see all you thirsty bitches after they're lusting after this Ben Platt non-equity realness.
Mm-hmm. Don't, Jess. All right, you're not non-egg, you're egg.
Oh, I know. I know. I just wanted to remind you.
Billy, I beg to differ with you.
How do you mean?
You're the top.
Yeah.
You're an arrow collar. You're the top.
Anyways, how are you, Matt?
Oh, guys, I hope you're straddled in, because this is going to be a fun episode.
It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Yeah. I would like to make a little warning here that if you do stick it out towards the end of the episode, you will be audience to a long-winded filibuster that I intend to partake on. Although I wonder if that's repetitive to say that. I feel like filibusters are long-winded in nature.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how they have to work, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Like yeah. I guess I could say it's going to be akin to... I would say it's akin to Felicia Rashad's last 30 minutes of Head of Passes, but I'm one of 90 people that saw that, so no one's going to get that reference.
Who the fuck are you trying to impress this morning with your niche Felicia Rashad references? And who am I trying to impress with my inability to say Felicia Rashad?
I don't know. I'm always trying to impress Gavin Creel, but, like, that's just 11-year-old me.
Our new Dr. Pomatter... Why can't I?
Does it matter? They're paying tickets to see Sarah anyway.
No, and him.
No, I mean, I would go back to see it, to see both of them.
I would as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. Did you know that was happening? Because I know you have friends in the company. And
I did. I did know, but I was sworn to secrecy. So I was, as I have been for many years, sitting on a Gavin Creel secret.
The best kind of secret.
Yeah. Completely
better than Victoria.
Have we actually have we actually gotten to how you're doing yet?
Do we actually care?
Well, no, but talk about it.
No, I personally am fine. There's been some stuff going down in my family health wise that's not been the greatest. Nothing like super tragic yet, but it's just sort of been like I don't know how to best say that. Like, I don't want to tempt fate and be like nothing tragic and then have it be tragic in like 4 days. I will say, by the time this podcast comes out, which will either be tomorrow or like Saturday, it will be the first year anniversary of my grandfather's passing, which is that one's a little rough for everybody. And then there's like some other stuff happening that's kind of just opening the wounds. Point is, I've had to be the glue in my family, much like Emma Stone was the glue in The Help, and kind of just keep everyone together. And it starts with tomorrow. I have to actually, after this podcast, I have to go down to my grandmother's apartment and set on her DVR RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 4, so that way my mom and I can watch it, because my mom thought she had VH1. She don't. And so we're going to her mom's apartment, and Sunday morning we're all going to sit down together and watch it. So that's what keeps families together, y'all.
That's just a lot of sadness.
Thanks, bitch. I can always count on you for that.
It's true.
Hey. Actually, some fun news, everybody. Tuesday night, I went and saw Broadway Breakdown alum Caitlin Kinnunen in The Prom.
Oh.
Hashtag also gets final bow Caitlin Kinnunen
yes,
in
does.
The Prom.
Oh.
She gets the final fucking bow. And I went with my other grandma, the one who also has VH1, but no DVR, so I will not be visiting her anytime soon. My 94-year-old, soon-to-be 95-year-old grandmother, Sally Koplik, asked if I wanted to see The Prom. She's like, it looks fun. I want to see it. And I said, well, fun fact, bitch, I know the main girl, so we can go backstage afterwards. And Sally Koplik, at true to form, she was like, do we?
Yes.
She didn't want to go backstage because she's 94 and she also broke her kneecap like 3 months ago. And she's fine now, by the way. So thank you, everybody, for wondering. She's actually, I told Caitlin this as she so lovingly escorted my grandmother back out through the stage door after we saw her. I was like, the doctors told her to get physical therapy afterwards. And my grandma just went, nope, I don't want that. And her knee healed. Like, she's fine now. She has to have a cane, but, like, what 94-year-old doesn't?
I have a cane.
Yeah. I mean, I have a cane, too, and I don't really need it. But I keep telling her she's a medical marvel. Doctors want to lock her up because they don't want people to know that not following their advice sometimes can work out for them. But she was worried about, like, having to stand around backstage, which is why she didn't go. But we found her a seat immediately. It was lovely. So I don't know if everyone remembers when we talked about Frozen a couple of weeks ago when I said make sure you have talented friends because it's easier to compliment them when they're in a show. The same is true when you have talented friends who are in a good show. So I am so pleased to announce that Miss Caitlin Kinnunen, the lovely Caitlin, who is so very talented, gave a lovely performance in a show that I adored.
People have just been like, nary anything negative I have seen about this show. People are loving it. I'm so excited to see it.
Yes. I mean, I won't lie. I mean, I'm a frequent reader of message boards, mostly for entertainment, but every now and then to sort of see what the buzz is. And there are like a couple of people who were not enthralled with The Prom, but many people who were just so over the moon about it that I was like, if something is dividing people like this, like clearly there's at least something to watch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so happy to say that those negative people can go fuck themselves because that show is so good.
Yay.
I mean, like, you know me. I'm very detail-oriented and active brain, hypercritical. Like, I mean, I will not say that there was, like, that I loved everything about it. There were certain things that I could nitpick, but I'm not going to do that right now because I'm still on such a high from the things that I loved about it. It has one of my favorite first acts I've seen in a very long time. The first act is, in my opinion, nearly flawless.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to explain because it is a weird kind of show in the sense that it is sort of a little bit of two different shows. There's the Caitlin part, which is a little more earnest, young, teeny boppery part of the show, which is like still very entertaining and fun. And then there's the like broad, campy Broadway part of the show, which is the Beth Lovell, Brooks Ashmanskas part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a very good job of sort of making the two weave in and out. And Beth Lovell and Brooks Ashmanskas, God love them, are both like campy as all fucking get out, but also create these well-rounded characters that you understand and believe. There are just so many times where I told Caitlin, like, there were times when I laughed so hard that the people next to me, like, turned to look at me like I was crazy. And even my grandma during intermission goes, "You were laughing a lot." I went, "It was fucking funny, bitch."
Your grandma threw shade on you.
She threw such shade at me. She really loved it too. She was really looking forward to seeing sort of an old-fashioned musical. I think she was a little surprised by some of the language. I mean, she's not like a prude, but I don't think she was expecting the button for the second number of Act One to be "Now let's go help that dyke" button. She wasn't quite expecting that, but that is one of the things that made me actually fall out of my chair. I thought it was so brilliant.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. There is, when you see it, I would like to hear your thoughts. A, because, you know, that is a show that you and I will be in 20 years from now.
Mm.
I have no problem doing like an alternate every other night. You're Brooks, I'm Christopher Sieber. Next night, you're Christopher Sieber, I'm Brooks. Like, that's just something I want.
I just figured I would be Beth level every night. And that's a promise.
Something that I, without giving too much away, stories like The Prom, where there is usually like a gay youth of some sort, or there's like a gay youth that is not maybe out and has maybe strict parents, whatnot. Usually when it comes to the big coming out time, I sometimes feel like it's a little hollow because it's like, oh, all of a sudden everybody does a complete 180 and like everything's perfect. Mm. And The Prom kind of does both. Does a little bit of that, but they also do something else that I thought was really moving. So, like, the kids in the show do a total 180, and they're on board and everything. But then the mom of one of the characters who's gay,
mm-hmm.
again, no spoilers, when she finally is confronted with it, it's not a complete, I super accept you, I love you, like, whatever makes mm-hmm. you happy. It's a very gray area where she kind of goes, she has a moment. You can see the struggle within her. Like, the actress who plays this role, who's for the most part of the show is, like, meant to sort of be the villain, she did a great job. I wish I found her after the show because I thought she did a really great job of making this character real. And she, you sort of saw the struggle where she, like, loves her child and wants her child to be happy, but at the same time, she's like, but I just wish that you weren't at the same time. And there's, like, this whole inner struggle, and then she finally just goes, we'll talk about it at home tonight, and then just sort of, like, takes a breath, looks around, and walks out. And it's, like, not a complete win, but it is, like, a stepping stone. And I'm like, that, I love that. I love being able to have that as well.
Super real.
Yeah. I love shit like that. So that was something that got me and got me super choked up.
I love that.
Yeah. And I don't cry very often, guys. The last time I cried was at Paddington 2, and that was in January, so.
I still haven't seen Paddington 2. I heard it was really good.
It's the best screenplay of the year, just saying. Yeah.
Did I ever tell you my favorite Beth Level story about when I did the reading with her and Brooks and Christopher last year of this other show, what she did?
You did not.
It was like a 10 a.m. presentation of this musical. She either had just started rehearsals for Miss Hannigan and Annie or mm-hmm. was just about to, or, you know, she's like one of those crazy in-demand performers where no mm-hmm. matter what, she's juggling 13 different things at the same time because everyone wants a slice at the level, you know?
That's true. She's been working since like the late 80s, like consistently. It's kind of crazy when you think about it.
Truly. She's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And she was stupidly ridiculous in this show. Laugh out loud funny, crying, trying to keep my shit together in any scene that I was in with her. I mean, the role was written for her, so it's just perfect. She's perfect in it. But she has this really big Beth level belty moment at the end of one of the songs. And she always, no matter what, sounds amazing on it. She truly... I want to go in and look at her chords, not in like a medical way. I want to shrink myself and just sit in her esophagus and just kind of mm-hmm. stare at her chords lovingly. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know how she produces the kind of sounds that she does that's so brassy and rah, mm-hmm. but also pleasant to the ear. It's confusing to me.
She has a couple of these like money pocket notes that are, when I say pocketing,
so
like they're in the pocket.
It's
like
so pingy.
Pingy, and like they just sound so healthy and fresh. So her voice kind of fascinates me too, in the same way that currently Barrett Wilbert Weed's voice sort of fascinates me, where it's like it's got that sort of graveliness to it that you think to yourself, like, oh, maybe she's a little under the weather, or like maybe she's a little tired. And then she'll hit a note that's even higher, mm-hmm. and it's so healthy and so pingy and so straight tone and strong that you're like, holy fuck, no, that's like. Yeah. That's just how she produces sound.
Well, so she had one of those notes at the end of this song and at the mm-hmm. 10 a.m. presentation for all these producers and all these artistic directors for different theaters. And every time she sang it, it was perfect. And she went to go sing it at this morning presentation, and it just didn't come out. And she just stopped everything. She went, nope, not doing that. And then she said, rewind. And literally everyone without missing a beat just rewound as if we were cartoon characters, because Beth Level said rewind. And then she sang the note and it was perfect. And everyone lost their shit even more because it was just so human and she's so wonderful. And I want to be her.
Yeah. She's a great power top.
She is.
Yeah. So this is all to say, everybody, if you're gonna try to be anybody, be Beth Level and go see the prom.
Yeah, go see the prom. I don't care if you live in Australia. I don't care if you live in the West End. I don't care. West End, like you live in the theaters on the
you
West
live
End.
In the Aldwych Theater.
I'm such an idiot. I don't care if you live in Europa. Come see the prom. It's worth the thousands of dollars you'll pay in airfare. Plus, absolutely, you can get a chance to meet us. You won't, but there's a chance.
There is a chance that you'll see us. I tend to wander the theater district and just, you know, say to anybody wandering by, you want an opinion about theater? You want an opinion about theater? You want an opinion about theater? And
yeah,
one out of every 30 times they do.
You're dressed exactly like the Chicago Hotcha girls in a...
Mm-hmm.
Deep black,
lipstick and everything.
Tight, a half-inch character shoe. Oh, no, they wear red tights. That's it, right? Or no, is it black?
No, it's black tights. It's ruby red lipstick is what they do. That's the red.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. I give those girls a lot of credit because they're out there no matter the weather, and they have such attitude, like in a good way. Not attitude, like that bitch's attitude. Like they go out like in character, and they try to sell the show despite terrible tourists, and I'm like, they don't let it get to them. I appreciate that.
I like that you consider it strong-willedness and I consider it mental illness, because I truly think that you could go up to one of them and say anything, and no matter what, their brain, they'll just they don't understand human interactions, so they'll just go. No. You could walk up and say something, you know, and say, I'm so sorry, your mother just passed, and they would go, hacha. Yeah. They truly are impenetrable walls.
They are the British guards of the theater district.
Oh my god, they totally are.
Yeah, I love it. I love everything about them.
Billy, I beg to differ with you.
How do you mean?
You're the top.
Yeah.
You're an arrow collar. You're the top.
You're a cool. Yeah. Okay, next show. You had more.
Well, did you see?
About.
So we have two shows closing. One is relatively new to the Broadway, and one has been a New York staple for almost 20 years. Torch Song is closing, sadly. I don't know if you got a chance to see it.
I didn't. No, and I'm really sad because I heard it was wonderful.
Yeah. You might still get a chance. I think it's closing in January, so maybe try to see it before it does. I saw it at Second Stage last year, and it was very good. Michael Urie is, of course, a phenomenal actor, and Mercedes Rule is
a
national treasure.
Yeah.
But then the other one is Avenue Q. Avenue Q is leaving New York City, guys.
Yeah, I saw that. I how sad. I mean, it had an amazing run, but...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is the golden success story that all small shows strive for.
Truly.
It's what they think of when they come to Broadway. Like, every time a show comes to Broadway and some people go, like, is there a Broadway audience for that? You know, it seems too niche. Like, those writers and those producers think of Avenue Q and think about the global outreach that show has had to which is why they come to Broadway. Because sometimes people don't come to Broadway. I mean, I would say 80% of the time it's the case, but sometimes people bring a show to Broadway not to make money, but because it's the biggest platform, and then that show can sort of live on afterwards, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like Indecent. Did you see Indecent?
I did. I loved Indecent.
Yes. The producers of Indecent literally said in their press statement when it came to Broadway, they're like, we're not expecting this to make money. And our investors know this will most likely lose its investment. But we just want this show to be seen. And this is like the largest platform we can think of to get the show seen. And I was like, that is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's to say Avenue Q, which actually came from the same off-Broadway theater as Indecent. Has been around for 15 years.
Why do you
years.
Know that? How do you
Why
know that?
How do you... Did you think I wouldn't know that, John?
No, I just always get so surprised at how...
How much I know.
Impressed I am with you.
I'm... Oh. You... I mean, It's sort of like the Chicago girls. Are you impressed or are you afraid?
Yes. Continue.
Side note, I've started to laugh like Trixie Mattel, and I don't like it.
You have. I actually was just thinking that.
Snatched.
Well, I guess I better start my meth addiction real quick, since I'm the Katya.
Yes, you are. That you are. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I was watching some the other day, and I went, if John and I ever got in front of a camera for, like, 6 hours and just, like, made 40 episodes of this shit, like, we would be the Broadway version of Trixie and Katya, and we would be stars.
Truly. Okay, well, so Avenue Q's ending, but a big show that was considered off-Broadway just announced its Broadway run, right?
Yeah!
Am I segueing? Am I segueing well? Yeah.
That is a great segue, seamless segue, into the next topic. Yes. You started off, Jan, because I have spoken a lot just now, so you speak.
So, the St. Anne's Warehouse production of Oklahoma will be getting a Broadway run at Circle in the Square Theater, which is really exciting because I really wanted to see that production, and it was very hard to get tickets that were not $1 million to it before I left. And now I can hopefully get a ticket that will not be $1 million, although it probably is going to be $1 million because I feel like it's going to sell very well.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I did not. I've had two friends see it, both of whom loved it, but they also were like, this show is so weird. They both wanted to let me know. It was very strange. It's strange to have friends who know you so well because they both went, I loved this show so much, you're probably going to hate it. And yeah, but I am also like,
did they explain why?
Yes, they did. And to be fair, both of these friends listen to this podcast, so they've heard my opinions all the live long day. They said it is, like they said, the book work is fantastic. They've like reorchestrated all the songs to make them little, you know, make them sound not quite so golden agey. And they said, you know, like half of the scenes take place like in the fucking dark. You know, there's like nothing but a green light in some scenes, and it's just all like very, it's very avant-garde. And I don't have a problem with avant-garde. I have a problem with Ivo van Hoffe. And so I think people sort of, equate the two. But yeah, I'm very fascinated to see it. From what I've read, this production sounds incredible. At the very least, you know, worthwhile seeing.
Completely.
Yeah. The thing that everyone has said, top to bottom, is that this is not your grandma's Oklahoma. And I love that. I love everything about that. That they're really kind of embracing the darkness and the violence and the sexuality of the piece, which there is a lot of. Like, there's a fucking murder on stage.
Yeah, I mean, there's a shack full of porn.
Yeah, there's a shack full of porn. That's what made me, you know, decide to get into porn.
What?
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 Huh?
So it's not your grandma's Oklahoma. That's great, because my grandma's dead. I'm really excited to see it.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
No, that sounds weird. Both my grandmas are dead. That explains more.
Oh, my God. Oh, guys. If you didn't want to punch us in the face on episode one, you clearly want to do so now.
What episode is this? 28? My age?
29.
Just kidding.
We're on episode 29, bitch.
Oh my god.
We're about to have as many episodes as you've had years alive.
Oh my gosh, that's frightening.
Isn't it?
Well,
it's crazy.
Maybe we should try to see Oklahoma together.
That would be nice. We've never actually seen a show together.
We haven't. I kind of feel like we would kill each other.
Maybe. Or the show might explode just from us both being there.
True.
I don't know. I'm a pretty good person to go see a show with because I kind of go into this little cocoon of myself when I see a show, and I don't really interact with other people until intermission and afterwards. I very much sort of take it all in,
yeah,
even if
same.
I'm not enjoying it. So I feel like you and I would get along during the show. It might be afterwards that we would kill each other if our opinions differed.
Excuse me.
What's in your coffee today, John?
Who wants some Baileys? Maybe if we're still alive, let's go see it.
I would love that very much. You get back very soon. I'm very excited.
I do. I get back in 3 weeks. I cannot wait. My seasonal affective disorder is already coming out just to like peekaboo and say, hey, I'm going to come out real hard for you. Come out real hard for you.
Oh. Really?
What?
Uh-huh. What?
My seasonal affective disorder is also apparently a sexual predator. But,
I mean, same. As are you, so it only makes sense.
But yeah, so I'm very excited about that. Are there other topics that I'm forgetting about? I'm just so surprised that I even knew a topic.
Yeah, you did. I was surprised that you brought that up. I'm super glad. I mean, that was one that I was very excited about.
Yes.
And actually goes into what we talked about last week about when shows close, another show opens. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we are all sad that Once on This Island will be leaving us, but I am thrilled that Oklahoma's coming in.
Well, because I think,
and it's the same thing.
I think a lot of shows. Wait, what show did we think was going to go in Circle in the Square? Did we say?
Hadestown. I think
people in my cast were talking about this. People were saying that they hoped Hadestown was going in the Circle in the Square. But
yeah, Hadestown was rumored for a couple of theaters. There, people were thinking maybe the Hudson for a while. And yeah, I mean, there was also talk that Girl from the North Country might go into Circle in the Square. There was like a weird rumor about Carmen Jones coming from Classic Shakespeare Company into Circle in the Square.
Is that definitely coming to Broadway? Girl from the North?
That is what I've been told. There was the rumor that they were supposed to get the Kerr, which is where Hadestown is going, and that at the last minute, Jordan Roth was like, surprise, I want Hadestown instead. And so Girl from the North Country kind of had to scramble, and now they're going to the L'Enfantin for a very limited, like, 5 months, because it's such a large theater, they don't want to, like, go for a year and bomb. They'd rather go for a very short period of time and sell out. But they haven't announced anything yet, and part of me thinks that's because they're waiting a little bit longer to see if any other theaters might open up, because I think they're going to really try to want to go for something smaller. Maybe they'll go for The Hayes. I don't know. It's because from what I've seen, it seems like a very intimate show, so I don't think that the L'Enfantin would go very well for them.
Sure. Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's just me and my uninformed opinion.
No, you have many opinions.
So this is now the part where we will transition into Matt's filibuster, so to speak. I'd like to take you back, everybody, to this past Sunday evening. I had just finished an evening shift at my work, and I sat down in my home. I finished the second season of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Quite good, by the way. Check it out. And I did one of my favorite pastimes, which was poured myself a glass of wine and read the Broadway World message boards. Which, if you've listened to this podcast before, you know that I get a kick out of reading that message board from time to time. I used to be a poster on there when I was a youngin. Like, and I'm talking like actually when I was a 14, 15-year-old youngin. I had an account. I would post all the time. I would sometimes get my ass handed to me by making some stupid statement of like, when was the last time that Cheetah Rivera was on Broadway? And then like five old schoolers would swoop in and be like, you fucking idiot, 2 years ago.
And now you're that old schooler.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm a little nicer than that, but yeah, I pretty much will serve your ineptitude on a platter for you. But I haven't posted on Broadway World in a long time. I probably have gone to more sports games in the last decade than I've posted on Broadway World in the last 5 years, which is saying something. But so I get on the message boards to read, and lo and behold, a shitstorm happens. It started with someone posting a thread announcing performances that my dear friend Lauren Nicole Chapman will be going on for Frozen, and Patty Murin, Stand By Aisha, I forget her last name, Tyler?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes. Because I read it. I didn't read all of them, but I read Patty's yes.
Yes, so we'll get into that. We'll get into that, because
I'm so glad you're bringing this up.
Yes. Well, so I have there two things. Well, okay, a lot of stuff. So they post this thing saying like, hey guys, during these, you know, 10 days, these two wonderful actors are going on for Patty Murin. It's a scheduled vacation that she's had for a while. And they finally just announced those dates. And I read it at first just because I wanted to see if anybody was saying, like, oh, like, Lauren's great, saw her, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But instead what happened was, apparently, Patty Murin has missed quite a few shows since Frozen has opened, and this has been a point of grievance for a couple of posters on Broadway World of, you know, show's been open for 6 months, missed, you know, quite a few shows, and people are going, does she ever go on? Can she handle the role? Yada, yada. And then what got tricky was two posters brought up her mental anxiety, which she went very public with back in April, I believe. She had an anxiety attack that caused her to not go on stage, and she posted an article, and she said, this is part of my life, and part of my mental health is to understand when I can and can't go on. And two posters didn't attack her for it, but they brought up the subject of, when this is sort of the mental state you're in, should you even be an actor? Which caused a whole shitstorm to go down. And Patty Murin, you know, saw it, screenshotted it. What she didn't do was then go on. I'm telling you, I was reading this thread as it was happening, because I'm talking like there was a post every other minute. This thing went down super fast. Jeez. And people were attacking the posters. People then were going off on Patty. The poster who brought up the question in general is someone who I've read many posts of and is not a terrible person, is a, you know, highly intelligent person with a very strict standard for performing. And when people kind of came for that standard saying, like, who are you to say this? This person goes, well, actually, since it's been asked, I used to be a performer and I do actually have the same anxiety that Patty Murin suffers from. And I had a come-to-Jesus moment last year when I did Hedwig and the Angry Inch. I'm speaking as this poster, by the way. Did Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And due to my mental anxiety, he's like, had a full-on breakdown towards the end of the run, like full-on Heath Ledger in Dark Knight, nearly, you know, took my own life. And it was that moment where I said to myself, for my own safety, I need to stop performing. And said, I'm now... Yeah. I'm still in the arts. I now produce, I write, and I'm very happy now. And it's like, and basically was saying, I'm not attacking Patty Murin. I am wondering what is, you know, best for her and for actors in general when they have this kind of thing, if it's right for them to do something like Broadway 8 times a week, blah, 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 blah. All that shit got deleted by the Broadway World moderators. And then the thread got locked. And then the same person opened up a new thread discussing censorship, which then got locked again, and then opened up a new thread saying, why is it that, you know, posters attack each other on this message board, but the second anyone says anything negative about Patty Murin, it gets locked, it gets deleted. Then this person got their account suspended, and then a couple of other people who came out in support of this person for opening up about their personal life got suspended as well. The website got locked overnight, and then the next day the moderators opened up a new thread saying, we are reviewing our standards and practices and blah, 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 blah. This is a private website, and we are going to figure out exactly how we're going to monitor the threads from now on. This also...
Jeez.
Yeah, right? And then... But then it became that same day, anytime anybody mentioned Patty Murin, their post got deleted. Anytime somebody mentioned what had happened the night before, the post got deleted. Threads were getting locked. And I do not go on Twitter. I do not have a Twitter. I am very much more, I prefer to read the boards. Apparently, she also posted, because people were being like, oh, Patty, we love you. Like, fellow Broadway actors, like, we love you, support you. Don't read the boards. And she wrote, I check in from time to time, because she wrote an article 2 years ago about Broadway World when certain people were making snarky comments about nerds, basically saying it's a vile area, it's very toxic. And she goes, I check in from time to time to make sure that the agreement that I have with Broadway World is still in play, which gave me pause as well. And this is rolling off of last week when Cody Simpson went into Anastasia, and apparently the Anastasia fans, the stans, on Twitter, like, full-on started attacking his presence in the show. They loved the original cast. They loved Derek Klena's replacement.
Yeah.
Yeah, and whoever his replacement is, I don't know his name.
Forget his name.
Yeah, and totally, they love Christy Altomar. Apparently, with Cody, something happened on his opening night where there were rumors that everyone in the cast, including Christy Altomare, had to get ushered out of the stage door very quickly by Cody's management. He wanted to get out of the theater, so everyone had to get out of the theater and was pushing people out of the stage door through the crowds. And there was a photo of Christy Altomare at the stage door signing autographs where she looked a little sad, and the fans all just stormed in. Christy's so upset. She's depressed. She hates Cody. She doesn't want to be in the show with Cody, blah, blah, blah. All within like 24 hours.
Jesus.
I bring this up because the way that Christy Altomare chose to handle that situation and the way that Patty Murin chose to handle her situation are kind of complete opposites, and they both bring up good points. So I would like to say that I think personally I am in a very unique spot to look at all of this because I am not a Broadway actor, and I think it's safe to say that I probably won't be. The way that my life has kind of turned, my career opportunities have gone elsewhere, which I'm happy with. But I'm not a Broadway actor, but I have quite a few people I consider to be close friends in the Broadway community, many mm-hmm. acquaintances who are in the Broadway community. So I have a very intimate knowledge of that world, and I've seen that world up front. I'm also still a Broadway fan. I've been a theater fan for a very long time. I am very much of that world as well, and I see that world. So I have no major skin in either game, but I've seen both worlds, you know, up close. First things first, I've said this before, I'll say it again. You can be a fan of a Broadway show, but you do not actually know a Broadway actor if you follow them on social media. You are not, right. You are not a friend of theirs. They are putting up a front that they want you to see. And sometimes mm-hmm. Or you're seeing aspects of their personality. You're not seeing the whole thing. And I say this as someone like, who does the same thing on his social media. Like, I only really have an Instagram, and I treat it for two reasons. Either as a way to promote this podcast or as like a little scrapbook for things that I want to remember. So like, I'll post something promoting a new episode here, or I'll post a photo of me and my grandma going to the theater. Like, that's the two things. I don't really talk about anything else, and most Broadway actors do the same. It's become very much a platform to promote themselves, which is, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But it does mean you're not getting all of that actor. So there are fans of Anastasia who may think they know Christy Altomare. They don't. They don't know everything about her. Unless they know her mother and her mother knows them, they are not friends. Like, that is mm-hmm. that is the way that I judge. Like, it's like, just, you know what I mean? Like, you can know what her favorite
ice cream.
Yeah, you can know what her favorite ice cream flavor is, but you're not her friend, you know? You can be a fan and you can support her, but you're not her friend. There's a difference.
I'm Facebook friends with Caitlin's mom. Like, Caitlin and I are like actual friends. Like, I've hung out with their mom multiple times. You know, like,
it's, exactly.
Yeah, like, it's real. Like, I'm same with you and like Lauren. Like, you know, it's
Like, I'm Facebook friends with Lauren's mom, Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl. You don't listen to this podcast. I don't think she even knows that I have one. But you know, like, when I say that I have friends, and not just Lauren. I really don't want to single her out because I don't want anyone to believe that anything that I'm saying from here on out is something that Lauren has ever said. I have other friends. Sure. I have other friends who are in the Broadway community. When I say that they are, and when I say friends, I'm talking like people that I've gotten sloppy drunk with, people whose mothers I know, people who've cried in my arms, whose arms I've cried in, like actual human being friends. It's mm-hmm. very easy for fans to think that they're friends with someone. It's also easy for people in the Broadway theater community, in terms of like the message boards, not actors and producers, the message boards, to forget that these are actual human beings. And therefore, mm-hmm. We are all capable of making a snarky comment. John and I made 90 in the last 10 minutes. And, you know, sometimes that happens. This goes for both Broadway actors and Broadway fans. The internet is permanent. You can delete something, but it still doesn't make it truly go away. Like, it happened, people saw it, people can bring it back up again. So I'm always of the belief of, don't write something unless you want it tattooed on your arm, you know? Like, think very closely before you write something, and it can be controversial, whatever, but you have to be able to stand by it afterwards, you know what I mean? Which is why I think mm-hmm. Twitter's a little dangerous, because people can sometimes write stream of consciousness and it doesn't always work out.
Our president, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's one end. The other end is a little negative towards the Broadway community, so I apologize if this seems snarky. I really don't mean it to be. As I said, having friends in that community and seeing it up close, the Broadway fan community is in its own bubble, but so is the Broadway community itself. And it's not a toxic one, although I will say, you know, having seen some darker elements of it, to imply that Broadway is a 100% loving, caring environment is a little bull. Broadway is loving, it's snarky, it's supportive, and it comes for its own usually every 5 minutes. Like, it's all those things in one. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I do sometimes find it hypocritical when I see people that I know or have met a couple of times post things about, like, why do we have these negative posts and why would you come for me? And I always kind of want to chime in and go, I met you at a party a month ago and you wouldn't look me in the eye. And when someone said something about the same show that you're, you know, supporting right now, you said something very snarky as well. Like, it's not to villainize anybody. Like, everybody has their own, has many aspects to their personalities. No one's like all good or all bad, but it's, there's sort of a double standard when it comes to talking about something online and talking about something in person. If you think you're not going to get quoted, you're a little more, you know, you talk about it a little more freely. The Broadway world community is a weird one where there are people who do truly care about theater and like to speak freely, and then people who, you know, troll and say toxic stuff. It's not all one thing, and I think when you villainize that community the way Patty Murin has done, you don't gain new followers. You basically just sort of reinforce the people who always supported you and isolate the people you're trying to turn over even more. So by shutting down threads and deleting posts and you know, villainizing all these people, and I say this as someone who watched all this go down and has watched the aftermath, the responses that this attitude got did not gain her any new followers. It really just kind of isolated the people who were not quite on her team even more. And I bring that up as well as the Christy Altomar situation up, because what Christy Altomar did was she went public when people were coming for Cody Simpson after that photo of her came out. And she said very openly, that photo you saw of me was 1/10 of a second of my day. You know, she said it was a very long day. We had a 2-show day. We had his put in that morning. Like, things happen. She goes, overall, it was a very lovely experience, and we all love Cody. There was 1/10 of a second where I exhaled, and someone took a picture. And so please do not analyze that photo anymore. It's nothing more than just, you know, a tenth of a second of my day. And what that did was, by divulging that information, the entire community calmed down for a second and went, okay, now we have the information, we apologize, we'll move on. And I thought that was a very smart thing that she did. And I think that it's something that more Broadway actors can learn from. Because when it comes to missing performances, when it comes to personal lives, Broadway actors don't owe anything. Like, Patty Murin does not have to apologize for getting cast in Frozen. She auditioned and she rightfully earned the part. The creative said, this is the right woman for the role. And that is amazing. And her job is to deliver that quality performance when she's on stage. If something gets in the way of that, either in her mental health or her physical health, she doesn't do it. And she's a grown-ass woman who's been in this business for a very long time. If something's going on with her body or her brain that's keeping her from going to the stage, you better believe she's working on a way to make sure it doesn't happen again or as often. But sometimes people will make uninformed posts. I don't think that villainizing those people is necessarily the productive way to go. I think information is a person's best friend, and you can explain more to people what is going on, so that way they stop viewing something the way they have been viewing it. You know, it's that come to Jesus moment of every Rodgers and Hammerstein show of, like, you think this is the world, but let me give you a little bit more information that will shatter your perception of the world. And I think what Christy Altomar did is an example of that, whereas shutting things down and blocking and deleting only angers people more, and you won't get converts that way. That was a long rambling filibuster, and I apologize, guys. In my brain, it was going to be a lot more organized, but those are thoughts.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of valid points that you're making there. I mean, I guess I'm a little unfamiliar with... So did something happen where the Broadway World Chat boards can't... they have, like, an agreement with...
That's what... With Patty Murin?
Her... Yeah.
That's what gave a lot of people pause. And I guess, yeah, and I believe she... As I said, I don't go on Twitter. I don't know what people write. I can only say what people responded to. The original post was someone said that she wrote something about an agreement, and then she altered the tweet.
You can't alter it.
Or then maybe she deleted the tweet and wrote something else. I don't know. She said something about an agreement, and that gave a lot of people like, what is this bullshit? Because then it makes people feel like they're on Big Brother or Handmaid's Tale, and everything's getting viewed through a microscopic lens. Because then Broadway World said, well, now if you want to send private messages to each other, you need to give us all of your Facebook information. And if you don't have a Facebook, you have to give us like some other form of identification. And people were like, why am I now having to like give up my entire identity in order to partake in this message board?
I don't see that so much as that. To me, I see that as if you are an anonymous name behind an anonymous handle, you are going to say things that you're going to be a troll, and that's what a lot of people on those chat boards do. They troll because they feel like I'll never be discovered. I have the free will to kind of show this darker, not darker side, but I can share these opinions that are harsher, meaner, that hurt people's feelings, that kind of attack a person who has been very open about her anxiety, who has been very... And so I'm not saying that, like, censorship is always the way to go, but if anything, I see validity on both sides. To me, I'm very much in the school of, I necessarily don't think Patty did anything wrong per se
in terms of calling out Broadway World or anything else
in terms of calling out everyone. I mean, like, if she, like, I the posts that I read were truly despicable, like people saying like, honey, you have to be there at 7 p.m at night, how hard can your job really be, like people just like being really nasty and not understanding what it means to, and the thing is that, like, okay, so if they're going to say things like that that are completely uninformed or kind of like one-sided, why doesn't she have the right to kind of challenge them and be like, no, you know?
But that's the thing, is I don't think she actually challenged them, which is what I'm saying. And I cannot emphasize this more, guys. I have no skin in the Broadway World game. Like, I read it. I used to post on it. These days, I could not fucking care less about them. Maybe if they didn't, you know, steal my web series for their own, I would be a little more kind to them. But I think that she doesn't, as I said, she doesn't owe anyone any explanation. I would have loved it if she actually challenged these posters. I don't think she actually did. She shut it down, which, you know, is a temporary fix. But you have, in order to change human behavior, you actually have to go in and change human behavior. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it does too, but I also think coming from someone who also has suffered from anxiety attacks, and when you feel like the world is watching you like that, your first response is not always going to be the most well thought out one, because you feel like the world is closing in on you. And so I think that I totally see exactly what you're saying. I'm also just, to me, I think it's, no one is innocent, you know, like it's the form of a chat board, of a completely anonymous chat board, comes from kind of a seedy hidden underground black market place of like, I'm gonna cover my face because what I'm doing is, I'm not gonna say a little bit shameful, but like there are actions that are taken on these type of mediums that are a bit more harsh, that are a bit more why can't I think of the word? That are just a bit more, not volatile, but just a bit more,
no, like nasty.
Vindictive. Vindictive. Yeah. And so it's all, to use a legal term, it's all, you know, it's all fruit from a, I forgot the legal term, of course I did. fruit from like a rotten tree or whatever the term is. If the tree is a bad tree, the fruit is going to be rotten as well. And so I think the kind of chat board setup is a rotten tree, and anything that comes from it is going to be a rotten fruit. Do I think that the way that Christy was able to articulate her words was very specifically thought out and gave insight into it? Yes, I definitely do. I definitely think that that's a way that it could have been handled as well. But to me, I'm just very, I was very disappointed. I was very sad, not so much at Patty, but just at the posts themselves. And I didn't know about the person being the original poster, someone who had said that, who had made those life choices, who had been there and done that. But the thing is, that's also their narrative. If I were to go up to another person who suffers from anxiety, as I know a lot of Broadway performers who suffer from anxiety, and went up to them and, you know, said like, oh, next week I think I'm quitting because I get too anxious, you should too, I think that's kind of a really one-sided and not helpful. You're not helping anyone. You're not helping anyone at all, because you're basically shaming someone for continuing on in choices that they're making, where you might have made the right choice for yourself. But I mean, Patty's story is very, she's had a lot of ups, she's had a lot of downs. I feel like if she hated doing the show, she wouldn't be doing it. You know, having anxiety and being completely destroyed from doing a show are two completely different things. I don't think she's destroyed from doing this show. I think she most likely gets a lot of joy and feels a lot of fulfillment from doing it, and a lot of empowerment from being able to play this strong female character. To me, I think that the anxiety is a separate challenge that she is dealing with and navigating, that I truly applaud her first and foremost for just talking about it, because there are so many, throughout the years, so many people in this community deal with depression and anxiety. And she's a Disney princess who's talking about it. And so I
am 100% in agreement with you, John. First of all, with my filibuster, I don't want anyone to think that I'm like, congratulations for this poster for their bravery and their snarkiness. I don't mean that. I definitely am trying. What I'm trying to say is this, as you said, everyone has their own journeys, right? So this person posted their really catty, stupid comment and then said, by the way, this is the road that I'm coming from, which I think would have been a nice opening of an opportunity to go, okay, well then let me explain to you why your opinion is really shit in terms of Patty's journey. You know what I mean? Instead of just completely blocking everything and shutting it down, because now you haven't taught that person anything. And I think that Patty's journey is very inspiring in the sense that, as you said, she's had a lot of ups and a lot of downs, and she still goes out there and performs and does this I've never seen her in the show, but from what I understand, it's a phenomenal job and really kind of, how do I say this word? I don't know how to say this word. Creates the best life she can for herself, for her path. And I am just not a fan of shutting down arguments. I am more of a fan of having conversations, as you can tell from this podcast, where I don't like to make like a one bitchy comment on a show unless it's Finding Neverland. If I don't like a show, I go on ad nauseum for 30 minutes as to why I didn't think it worked, which makes me, you know, terrible for Twitter, which is why I'll never have a Twitter.
No, and totally. I just think that there's a difference between them shutting down a post because of the original post being something. To me, what it sounds like is that it became a wildfire that spread too quickly. So rather than just being like, oh, we have to keep an eye on this whole thing constantly, they just doused the fire at the original source. And now we're taking steps to kind of be like, all right, we've created a place where people aren't censoring themselves because there's no repercussions to it. Whereas if we can hold people a bit more accountable for what they're saying, that might be a better way to go about. To me, that's the way that I'm kind of looking at it.
I have no problem with the Facebook linking. That when I said the privacy situation, that was what the posters were saying. I have no problem with them linking people to Facebook. What I'll say is a way to link this to something else that actually went towards a positive place was yesterday it was announced that Michelle Williams would be leaving Once on This Island after like literally a handful of performances.
Right.
And the post, and to sort of show how information is a girl's best friend, the posters on Broadway World's nary a snarky comment. Everyone was given information as to what the situation was on her end. She has also been very open about her mental anxiety and sort of the highs and lows in which her body can go based off of where her mind is at. And then she also just had a very recent engagement break off. And with that information, nobody said anything of like, oh, good luck to you. Everyone was very supportive and everyone sort of saw where she was coming from and wished her well and hoped that she, you know, refound her footing. And I think that that is sort of a way to find growth from a very dark, from a previously dark place in terms of those message boards. Like, I have no problem with that original thread getting locked and shut down. It was the next day when people tried to discuss what happened that got shut down, and that became a whole other wildfire by trying to put out more wildfires. And this was a situation where from that people were able to sort of reanalyze the situation with the new information they were given and go from a more constructive, positive place with it. And yeah, that is my capper on that.
I am so sick of hearing you talking all the time. Don't you ever just shut up?
Listen, if you have opinions, just start a podcast and start talking. Yeah. And then every dumb thing you say will just be accessible for the rest of your life to come and haunt you.
Uh-huh. Oh, I can't wait for this episode to come and haunt me. I don't know. I, as I said, have as many opinions as you want. I try not to, like... I don't discuss things like mental anxiety in the sense of like I know what I'm talking about. I don't. I only know from you really what that's like. So I'm not here to tell you like, here's Patty Murin's life story. I only know what she said, and I can give you my opinion off of that, which is again a positive one. I think that she's a very strong woman, a very talented woman. I've seen her twice on the stage and I think she's great.
Yeah.
I can only talk about a specific situation that happened this weekend from two different perspectives, and I understand the sides of both, and I'm trying to find a compromise, guys.
Yeah, well, it's hard to build a bridge. Because I had completely forgotten about it, but I only saw a very brief smattering of it on Twitter, including some screenshots of the original posts. So
yeah.
I've learned more, I'm more informed, and now we can move on.
Yeah. Well, listen, this has been a nice, long-winded day.
It has. I gotta go. I have things to do. I have to get in a shower.
Yeah. We were supposed to end this 45 minutes ago, but to be fair, 45 of those minutes were taken up by technical difficulties.
That is fair.
Yeah.
Who do you want to play us out this week?
Ariel Jacobs. I jest. We're totally going with Patty Murin today.
Who?
She's original Jasmine.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Original Jasmine in Aladdin.
Oh, no. It cut out.
Oh.
So I didn't hear who you said.
I said Ariel Jacobs.
Oh, I know. She's engaged to a kid I went to school with. I know
her. Oh, is she?
I know her. Yeah.
You guys are best friends.
No, I actually have never met her, but I know of her.
I know of her, too.
But she's a good job. Let's play us out. Other Patty.
Yes, guys. This is our episode to claim Patty Murin's stake in Broadway and tell you all to, you know, let a bitch breathe.
Yeah, let a bitch breathe. Listen, I'm John Savage.
I'm Matt Koplik, and this is Patty Murin, belting for the gods. Take us away, Patty.
Bye.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.